All right, take your Bibles and join me in turning to Numbers, book of Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14 is where we'll be. You know a preacher is sick if he's not in his pulpit the first Sunday of the year. And when I heard from Pastor Davidson at the end of the last week, I knew the man had to be sick if he couldn't be here. And it's a good thing to be in the house of the Lord on the first Sunday of the year. I think that's a great way to start off 2022. And so I'm glad that you've made the choice to be here today. And I've had a good Christmas holiday. I hope you have too. A lot of people ask about, are you ready for the college year to start? And my answer is very simple to that. No. I've got a lot to get done this week. But I've enjoyed time with family and reflecting a little bit on the Lord's blessings of this previous year, and looking forward to what the Lord has for this year. God convicted me about my attitude. I would just say it's really transcended more than just the last couple of years. Let's be honest, the last couple of years, our attitudes are sort of like, well, who knows what this one's going to bring. And the Lord really dealt with me about that. I think sometimes we look back at previous years of our lives and we say, boy, those were good years. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with looking back in the past and being appreciative of it. However, you know, I think that there's a great importance that God's people approach every new year with a spirit of anticipation. Because any year that God works is a good year. And it may be in these days that God has chosen to work in some different ways, but I'm glad I'm going into 2022 with Him. And I think that has to be our mindset, and I believe that we've maybe been conditioned, especially over the last couple of years, of coming into a year maybe with more fear than faith. And so I want to read to you one verse this morning, Numbers chapter 14 and verse number 1. And we'll actually spend the majority of our time examining the verses before it. But notice with me Numbers chapter 14, verse number 1. It says, "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night." Now when you read that one verse, you don't get the impression that Israel is about to enter into the one of the greatest developments in its short history. But yet, that is the reality of it. Israel had been delivered through the Red Sea. And now God is wanting to deliver them into the promised land. This should be chapter 2 in the history of Israel, in which God's people ought to have great anticipation, in which God's people ought to expect to see God move in a mighty way. God is going to give them their own land. God is going to give them blessings unlike anything that they've ever seen. But instead of finding them laughing and rejoicing, you find them paralyzed with fear. An entire nation given to crying and weeping all night long. For those of you that have had children, do you remember those early days when they cried all night long? After having our first child, I was introduced to the word colic. I hate that word. I hate that, what it does to babies and what it does to moms and dads who've been deprived of sleep all night long. I want you to imagine, here Israel is on the cusp of a major development. God has brought them to a new place, but instead of laughing, they're weeping, not just one baby, but 2 million strong. And I believe the reason you find Israel weeping, the reason you find Israel in despair, is because they have a fear of the future. And that's what I want to speak to you about this morning. I want to speak to you about having a fear of the future. Fear is a very powerful emotion. And sometimes it overtakes us. And when we look at the example of the nation of Israel, we find the importance of having a good start. Listen, whether you realize it or not, God has brought you to another year. Why? Because God wants to work in your life. God has, listen, if you're breathing this morning, you're part of the new year. You can't escape it. Is it God's will for me to go through 2022? If you're here, yes. But I really want to especially challenge believers this morning. I want to ask you, what's your attitude coming into the new year? Is it one of just fear? Is it one of apprehension? Is it one of apathy? I want to challenge you to let it be one of anticipation. But Israel shows us several characteristics of how fear paralyzes us and how it keeps us from getting off to a good start. For years, I've heard people make statements like it's important to get off to a good start. It really is. Now, there's sometimes you don't get off to a good start and yet you have a good finish, and I'll applaud you for that. But listen, the ideal thing is to start the way that you should and finish the way that you should. And my question to you this morning is, how will you start 2022? I was doing some reading the other day about a subject that I hate. You say, why do you read about subjects that you hate? For sermon illustrations, that's why. And one of those subjects is the subject of running or sprinting. Now, the reason I hate sprinting is I have never been built for speed. I've always been built for comfort. You know what I mean? I've never been the fastest kid on the block. Now, I enjoyed running if there was a ball in front of me, but you know, there are people that talk about cross-country run. I don't get that. I don't understand the joy of that. And of course, when you watch the Olympics, you see these sprints that take place 100 yards in now less than 10 seconds. Men are crossing the line. Do you know how world records are broken? Do you know how medals are won? Let me tell you how. Based on a good start. I began reading this article about sprinting. Listen, I thought the man just knelt down on the ground, and when he heard the whistle, he ran as fast as he could. But boy, did I learn, there's a lot of elements to a good start that I was clueless about. Yeah, I saw those starting blocks where they would get down there and they would put their feet in those blocks, but I had no idea they could adjust them. I thought it was just a decorative thing. They adjust those blocks to the lengths of their legs. It's very important because something that is misaligned or something that's not adjusted properly, they get off to a bad start. There's a certain position that they assume whenever they hear the word set. Their shoulders are slightly lower than their rear ends as they're guiding themselves toward the finish line. And then from the very moment that they push off of their blocks, their body has to be at a certain posture to maximize their acceleration as they push through and as they start the race. It's about reaction time. It's about power. It's about acceleration. Listen, medals aren't won and records aren't broken if there's a poor start. I read in one part of an article that I read on the subject of this that it said that an athlete with a great start many times is able to beat a superior athlete. Sometimes it's not the fastest who wins. Sometimes it's not the most talented who wins. Sometimes the start contributes to in such a way that they're able to win the race. And so I want to ask you this morning, how will you start 2022? I want to show you how Israel started in chapter 2 of their history and failed miserably. And I believe that it's easy for us to live in a fear of the future when God is not our guide. It's easy for us to fear the unknown and to fear the future when we're not trusting God, and that's what you see happening in Israel in a nutshell. There are four things that I want to show you. If you want to have a fear of the future in 2022, number one, overlook your blessings. You say, what do you mean, overlook your blessings? Notice with me in verse 26 of chapter 13. It says, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel under the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Now I want to stop there and remind you, Israel has sent spies into Canaan. And these spies are to come back with a report. And basically, in summation, 12 spies went to Canaan, 10 were bad and 2 were good. You have 2 that held tenaciously to God's promises. You had 10 that were paralyzed in fear. All right, notice with me verse 27. It says, and they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Now, let's stop for just a moment. This is a great report. Don't you like good news? Sometimes when your wife comes home from the store and she says, honey, I want you to know I saved us $100 today when I was shopping. Now, on the surface, that seems like good news, but we men know that sometimes to save $100, you have to spend $200. It's all in how you frame it, isn't it? But do you know, up to this point, this is great news. The spies come back and they tell Moses, they say, hey, you sent us into this land and surely, listen, without a doubt, I mean without a doubt, it flows with milk and honey. Boy, you're talking about amenities. You're talking about something that is great. And this is the fruit of it. And the fruit that they showed was great, as described in other ways, other passages. You find that, listen, this was not just dollar store fruit. I mean, it was great. We stop at this point, we're like, wow, this is wonderful. Look at what they have. They said, go to this land. They come back and they say, boy, you would not believe it. It has milk and it has honey and it has fruit. But listen to me, verse 28 negates everything that verse 27 said. Nevertheless, let me tell you something. That word nevertheless is the language of unbelief. If I could say it this way, nevertheless is a four-letter word that's spelled with 12 letters. Takes 3 times the amount to spell nevertheless, but I'm telling you, it's just as disgusting as any four-letter word. Why? Because it is the language of unbelief. I was studying the word, and it's closely related to the word like to be for naught. Like, have you ever had somebody say, boy, I put all of my energy into this, and it didn't work. It was all, my work's all for naught. Just frustrated. Maybe a lady who slaves with a recipe, misreads the temperature, and after all of that labor, she puts it in the oven, it comes out burnt, she throws up her hands exasperated, and she says, well, that was all for naught. It's useless. You know the word nevertheless, very closely related to that. Israel might have said, there's a lot of milk and honey here, and look at this fruit, but that's all for naught. You know what Israel did? Let me tell you, Israel did what many of us do. We overlook the blessings. I'm standing here in a room filled with people. Listen to me. You're richer than 80% of the world. Did you know that right now? You say, I'm on a limited income. You're a teenager and you're like, I don't own a thing. My parents give me. Listen to me. You're better off right now than 80% of the world. And yet we can come in our Western civilization into 2022 depressed. We overlook the blessings that God has given us that we've taken for granted every single
day.
God said, I'm going to give you a new land. I'm going to give you physical nourishment. I'm going to give you something that's new. Don't you like new things? I do. New car smell. I've never had it before, but I like to. Maybe I should just visit a car lot every once in a while and just sit down in one just to smell it. Closest I've ever got to new car smell is the fragrances that you can hang, the Yankee Candle fragrance you can hang there on the rearview mirror. I mean, there's something about something that is new. I mean, here, it's a new land. They're going to have great, great victuals, so to speak. But they said, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. How in the world do a group of people get to chapter 14, verse number 1, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night? I'll tell you how you get there: by overlooking God's blessings. And sometimes overlooking God's blessings is not just saying they don't exist. No, when you overlook God's blessings, you see them, but you choose to go over here. If you want to have a fear of the future, overlook God's blessings. What God's given you right now, just overlook it. Much more could be said, but I want to continue on. Not only overlook your blessings, but if you want to live in fear of the future, I'll tell you how you do it. Focus on your obstacles. I'm just going to be blunt. All of us have obstacles. You're not in heaven yet, are you? All of us have obstacles, and you'll meet obstacles this year that you've never met before. But if you want to start in a miserable fashion and you want to finish in an awful stead, just focus on the obstacles. That's exactly what they did. Verse 28, it says that the people be strong that dwell in the land. They said the cities are walled. You know, walled cities, they're harder to defeat than ones that have no walls. When I went to Israel and saw the part of the wall around Jerusalem, I think back in biblical days when the walls were built. Those walls were built for both identification and protection, primarily protection. It's harder to overtake a wall it's harder to overtake a city when there's walls built around it. And the higher the wall, the more difficult it is. And they said, oh, the people are strong and the cities are walled. And then they said, and then you have the children of Anak are there. These are people that are purported to be maybe of a larger stature. They say, we're outnumbered in every way. And then notice in verse 29, the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, by the coast of Jordan. Let me give you the cliff notes on that. They basically said, we're surrounded by the enemy. That's what's going on. You ever looked at the meteorologist whenever they're giving the report? You're trying to find a spot in the day, and they're like Sunday, 100% chance of rain. Monday, 100% chance of tornadoes. Tuesday, 100% chance of high wind. You're like, boy, there's just like the whole week's just a drag. Well, I'm going to tell you, Israel, they just looked around and they were just determined they were going to focus on the obstacles more than they were going to focus on the promises of God. And there may be some of you come to the end of 2021 and you feel that you've been beaten down. You've gone through a stretch of life and you say, boy, this stretch of life has taken me in such a way that I just feel beaten down and it's hard for me to look up. Listen, you'll have a fear of the future as long as you focus on the obstacles. In verse 32, it talks about this evil report. It says, and they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. Boy, forget milk and honey. All we can see is it eats them up. I remember there were times as a kid being raised in the country, running through a briar patch. That briar patch ate me up. I remember one time running my bicycle through the briar patch, but that was not on purpose. I was riding downhill and I was pedaling as fast as I could to see how fast I could get that bicycle to go, but then it hit me that there was a briar patch in a field in front of me, and I didn't realize that when you have brakes that you use on a bicycle when there is dew on the ground, those brakes are useless. And I slammed on the brakes and I just went right through there, and I mean those briars ate me up. That's all Israel can see. I know we joke and we talk about pessimists and optimists, and everybody in here, you fit somewhere in the spectrum. Some of you eternal optimists, some of you are just so negative. How are you doing? I could be doing better, but guess, but I'm alive. And then some of you pride yourself in being a realist. You say, I see the good and I see the bad, and some realists I've met, all they are is pessimist and optimistic clothing. I don't care what your makeup is. I don't care where you fit in the spectrum. I'm just telling you, when you focus on the obstacles, it will lead you to chapter 14, verse number 1, and you'll cry all night long. You know, if I could sum up the problem of Israel in focusing on the obstacles, I would say it two ways. I would say it this way: they saw themselves, but they did not see God. It's easy for me to see where I'm at, but sometimes it's hard for me to see where He's at. And I may be talking to some of us this morning. You see, you've been eaten alive. You see the obstacles that are there, and you focused on them. I could say it this way as well, summing up their problem, that their eyes were on obstacles rather than the overcomer. You know, some people accuse Caleb and Joshua of being just blind optimists. I reject that, and I'll tell you why. Notice with me verse 30. It says, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it. Here it is, for we are well able to overcome it. He wasn't a blind optimist. Caleb didn't say, oh, there's really nothing out there that's going to be a problem. No, he said, no, we're well able to overcome it based on what God has told us. I'm not here to tell you there won't be obstacles this year, and I'm not here to tell you you didn't face them last year. But if all you can see is yourself and you can't see God, listen to me, you'll wind up in verse number 1 of chapter 14. How do you have a fear of the future? You have a fear of the future when you overlook your blessings. You have a fear of the future when you focus on your obstacles. You have a fear of the future when you go in your own strength. Verse 31. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, here's the key, for they are stronger than we. You understand, Caleb, he's just stilled everybody. He said, everybody hush. I had a mamaw, she was good, saying, hush your mouth. Caleb said, everybody hush. He stilled the people and he said, listen, he said, we can do this. And the other ones spoke up and they said, no, we can't. And they said, they're stronger than we are. You know what they revealed? They revealed that they had a dependency on their own strength. Let me ask you a question. Were the Canaanites stronger than the Israelites? Probably so. I wasn't there when this was written and when this happened, but I think maybe it was reasonable to say the Canaanites were stronger than the Israelites. I mean, they named several tribes of them, Amalekites, Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites. I'll be honest, I don't know the numbers, but I could probably come to the conclusion that the Canaanites were stronger than the Israelites. But that doesn't really bother me that much, because here's the truth. The Egyptians were stronger than the Israelites. Brother, you want to talk about having the odds stacked against you? Be thrown in slavery to perhaps the most powerful civilization of the world. It was just a few years prior that Israel had been delivered out of Egypt. And I believe without a doubt that the Israelites were inferior to the Egyptians. The Egyptians had chariots. The Egyptians had organization. The Egyptians had prosperity. The Egyptians had the upper hand. The more and more I read the Bible, I see that a lot of people physically had the upper hand over God's children. David wasn't a 9-foot giant and Goliath a 5-foot runt. Gideon didn't have 150,000 in his band demolishing 300. You know, when you read the Bible, here is the conclusion that every Christian has to come to, is that your own strength isn't good enough. Maybe some of you say, boy, this last year, I don't know how I made it. Well, instead of letting that lead you into 2022 with dread and fear, how about letting it just put you in a spirit of amazement and say, well, if God got me through this one, then He'll get me through this one. Isn't that a lot better? There are people today, they're looking at this year with dread. Why? Because all they can see is their own strength. And if that's you, I want to remind you, Isaiah 40 and verse 29, the Bible says, He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. And I wonder if there's some of us here today. Oh, you know, you've maybe not been in the depths of the despair. Maybe you've just been ho-hum about 2022. Listen, do not let any aspect of Israel infect you that we find in Numbers chapter 13. If you come to this year and you've already started in your own strength, listen to me, now is the time to stop and to realize that you need a strength that is greater than you, and He wants to give it to you. God can give you the strength. But before I go to the last point, I want to tell you, I want to remind you that are Christians here this morning, that there was a time in your life in which you were utterly without strength. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 6, it says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." If you're here and you say, "Preacher, I'm saved, but I am weary and I am beaten down, and as I start this year, I don't know what to do," I want you to stop and I want you to reflect on a time where you had absolutely no strength, you were totally helpless, and God intervened. And I'm talking about Jesus Christ dying on the cross for you, showing you the love of God and saving you when you couldn't save yourself. And whenever I reflect what Jesus Christ did for me and how He delivered me from hell, when I reflect on that, it ought to motivate me to understand that if He can deliver my soul from eternal damnation, then surely God can deliver me from a lion's den. Surely He can deliver me from adversity. Surely He can give me grace to go through the fire. And I may be talking to some of you here this morning. You say, "Preacher, you talk about people being Christians. As I sit here today, I can't say that I'm a Christian." Listen, right now it may be in the state of life that you're in. You're without strength. You're totally helpless. You can't get God's forgiveness of your own accord. And yet, if you put your eyes by faith upon the Lord Jesus and you see that Jesus died on the cross, He was raised again that you might have eternal life, and you place your faith in Christ, you repent of your sin and you come to Jesus, listen to me, you can know what it means to be delivered to a place of having no strength and no hope and no joy, to being a child of God and enjoying God's strength. But if today you want to live in fear of the future, overlook your blessings. Focus on the obstacles. Go in your own strength. But the last thing that I tell you is trust your own sight. And you say, what do you mean? Verse 33, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come to the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. You know, in verse 33, you find two aspects of sight that are mentioned. Number one, you find the sight of the Israelites, or as I'm talking to you this morning, your sight. It's what you see. Israel, what'd you see? This is what I saw. I saw sons of Anak, which are giants. That's what they saw. Is there anything wrong with what they saw? Was it not right? Well, no. As a matter of fact, what they saw giants, the sons of, these were big guys. Not only did they talk about what they saw, but then, and by the way, they said we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. You know what they've done now? They have looked at the giants and they've looked at themselves and they've really given themselves a little derogatory description. They say we're like grasshoppers in their sight. That's what they saw. They were saying they are big and we are small. That's what we see. You know, there's another aspect of sight that they talk about. They not only talk about what they saw, but they talked about what their enemies saw. And so we were in their sight. They said, we know what we saw. We think we're like grasshoppers in their sight. And they go on to say, and in their sight, that's the way they saw us. I don't know how they figured that out. It may have been that they stood out there and all of a sudden they watched the sons of Anak. They start laughing, and so we were in their sight. Maybe the sons of Anak looked and said, look at those shrimps. This is easy. You know why Israel was so paralyzed in fear? I'll tell you why. They thought about what they saw and they thought about what their enemies saw, but here's one thing that they forgot about. They forgot about what God saw. God's sight is so much better than mine. This morning I was sitting back there, I was listening in Sunday school, and sometimes some of those things that I see on the screen, they're just not nearly as clear as they were for me 20 years ago. I'm in that phase right now with glasses. I've got to get new glasses, and they said you need to go progressive lens. And I right now I'm to the point where I have trouble seeing afar off, but now it's starting to bug me up close. My eyes are just, you know, it's one of those things, and I just, at sometime I'll have to take the plunge to do it. But my sight, it's worse today than it's ever been. Now, I'm not going blind, but I'll tell you, out in the distance, when I try to see text sometimes and such, I really have to squint. It's embarrassing. You go to a fast food place and you step, everybody thinks you're breaking in line. I'm like, no, I just want to see the menu. You just keep ordering, you know. But I'm going to tell you, my sight is so flawed. I have a limited perspective. They talked about what they saw. And really what they said wasn't wrong. It wasn't that they were, I mean, those guys were probably every bit as big as they said. It wasn't that they were exaggerating. I mean, when you compared, maybe the exaggeration, we're grasshoppers compared to them. But, you know, it's a figure of speech. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. They probably were at a gross disadvantage, but they focused on what they saw. They focused on what their enemies saw, but they failed to recognize what God saw. You say, what does God see? I'll tell you what God sees. Psalm 33 and verse 18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy. You know, there are times I need to quit worrying about what everybody else thinks and I just need to be concerned with what He sees. Psalm 34 and verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and His ears are open unto their cry. 1 Peter 3 and verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and His ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Listen, if you want to start 2022 in despair, for that matter, mediocrity, trust your sight more than God's. I believe it's of great importance for you and for me to get off to a great start this year. And I've been challenged in this area more than ever, that I can ever remember my Christian walk in the days approaching this year. I've been challenged in it more than ever. Not to let my forecast be governed by a virus or by whatever bad news is out there. But I want to have an outlook that's consistent with Scripture. And I believe that today may be one of the most important Sundays of the year in your life. Because if you get off to a bad start, it may cost you more than you can imagine. I was reading about a race that took place in September of 2021 in Italy. As a matter of fact, it was an F1 car. I guess F1 racing is to the world like NASCAR is to the South. You know, when I was a kid growing up, it was all NASCAR. What's F1? What is Indy 500? We didn't know any of that stuff. But for the really sophisticated people, they know all about F1 racing. I was reading this article. There was a man by the name of Lewis Hamilton. He was a racer, and many people anticipated that this was a man who could very much so win the race. It was a sprint race. I think it was 18 laps in this fast car. Now, let me say, for some of you that are used to automatic transmissions, you're like, when I get in a car, I just take that little knob and put it on D, and it does the rest. You know, that works for people like you and me, but not for race car drivers. Now, they have to use this thing called a clutch. It's called a manual transmission. You know, some of you are like, I would go nuts if I saw three pedals on the floor. I wouldn't know what to do. Well, that one on the far left would be a clutch. And whenever you're driving those fast cars, you've got to push that clutch in and push the car into gear. And I'm telling you, for race car drivers, it is a very fine science. And these F1 cars, they're trying to accelerate in the quickest way possible, and just one misstep can cost them everything. This man ended up, instead of finishing first, he finished fifth. And they interviewed Lewis Hamilton and they said, what happened? You had a superior car. You're a very skilled driver. You were predicted to be the winner of this event. They said, what happened? And he said, I'll tell you what happened. He said, it was all because of a bad start. He said, every time I would start up my progression on the straightaway, he said, I would push the clutch down 2 millimeters farther than it needed to go. And he said, those 2 millimeters made the difference between first place and fifth. I couldn't believe that. You know, as you go through 2022, God wants you to start strong. You know why? Because He wants you to finish strong. And for you, it may not be 2 millimeters. For you, it may be that you've overlooked your blessings. For you, you're living by sight instead of faith. For you, you're relying in your own strength. For you, you're focusing on your obstacles. I want to encourage you, don't go into 2022 with fear, but go into it with faith and learn from the example of Israel. Let's bow our heads together in prayer.